All right, let's get right down to it. Luke, the book of Luke that we just read from, was written after Jesus had ascended into heaven, promising to return, but he didn't return right away. The people who would have read Luke originally, because it's written sometime after, were in a hopeless, forsaken, voiceless situation. They were waiting, but they were discouraged. So these words of Jesus to not lose heart encourage them to continue praying and know that God had not forgotten them. But today's reading from Luke 18, 1 through 8, is not about nagging God until you get what you want. Although you can read that. It's not about a widow representing us and a judge representing God. Although people have thought that. And it's not about God listening only to the chosen ones as we define them. But some people have tried to make it into that. But let's first talk about nagging. Anyone familiar with nagging? All the kids raise their hands and parents are like, I never nag. Never, ever, never. You know what? God doesn't do stuff because we nag. God does stuff because God does stuff. Jesus instructed the people to pray and to not lose heart. And he also, in another chapter in the Bible, something that's very familiar to us, he taught people how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So our continual prayers are to be for God's will, not ours. And we hope that our prayers for our will are God's will. But just nagging God because you want something, that's not what this is about, and God doesn't do stuff because of that. And then there's representations of these two. The nagging widow, some would say. The persistent widow, some would say. The unjust judge, others would remember. This widow. Widows in Hebrew times, in Greek times, in Old and New Testament times, were forsaken. No voice in society. Yet this one used her voice relentlessly to call to an unjust judge for justice. Now, in some translations of the Bible, the widow says, grant me vengeance against my adversary. In others, it says, I need my rights. In the reading today, it says, grant me justice against my opponents. And the feeling there is this judge knew that this widow had a legitimate beef, that someone had exploited her, had wronged her, and this voiceless person was talking to the judge, and he knew. So when she's looking for justice, she's looking for the judge to do what is right and just and fair. The Greek word for widow is chera, and it gives the idea of someone who is lacking or deficient, like they don't have a husband to speak for them. No status. And then in Hebrew, another way that we understand widow, almana, that means desolate or forsaken, kind of like that, lacking or deficient. And then the root of almana is alam. These are all, you know, fun words, and you can say them and you can put them in crossword puzzles and stuff like that, but it has a deep meaning there. Alam means silence. And so almana, the feminine form of this word for widow, widower, means silent. And a widow was someone who, by status in society, and even by the root word of what the name means, was silent. But this silent one, remember, she used her voice relentlessly to call on that unjust judge to act for justice. And the judge ended up giving her justice only because she wore him out. Or literally, gave him a black eye. Doesn't mean that she punched him, although she probably wanted to. But giving him a black eye, that's the literal sense. But it was like the reputation of the judge as a just judge, even though the Bible passage says that he was unjust. But his reputation as a judge was in danger, so he gave her what she wanted. And I wish that we could be so bold as we seek justice, in the sense of what is fair and what is right in the world. And so this widow got justice from an unjust judge. But God isn't unjust. And Jesus makes it clear in there. Why would the readers of Luke, why would we need to hear that God will grant justice to them, to us? Who does this judge represent if it's not God? And I said, it's not a judge representing God. We'll get back to that in a minute. Now I want to get to the part where it says these chosen ones, because that's just slipped right in there. In verse, I don't remember where it is. Listen to what the judge says. And verse 7, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? So this question of chosen ones, or the big fancy word election, is deep. It's debated all across Christianity, and we're not going to figure out all of that today. But let me offer this thought. If God favors the poor, the exploited, the outcast, the widow, the orphan, and the persecuted, the wrongly accused, the marginalized in our world, then wouldn't you say that those are God's chosen ones? And though the comparison of what we go through compared to what many others endure is not at all fair, don't we all endure at least a little bit of hardship? And can't we all cry out to God for justice, if not for us, for others who seem to be unjustly treated? And aren't then the chosen ones of God the ones who cry out to God for justice, not based on where they live or who they were born to or what their history is? Are not God's chosen ones those who cry out for justice? And no matter what chosen ones means, it's about something that God is in charge of and something that we are not in charge of. We don't do the choosing. God does. But back to representations now. That widow as us and God as the judge, which I said isn't exactly it. There's this last line there that says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith here on earth? Remember that right at the end? It seems a little bit out of character with this don't lose heart. But all of a sudden when I hear that verse, I go from identifying with the widow who calls out to justice saying, you know, I don't know if I have a voice, but God, please bring justice. And I start identifying right with the unjust judge because I live a comfortable life while the forsaken and the voiceless, the marginalized in the world cry out for justice. And of course, I pray, don't we all? But I think there's more of a challenge in that last verse. And I think the challenge is be ready to act while we pray. Because when someone is ill, we pray. And the doctors act. When we see hungry in our communities, we pray. But we also give food to our food pantries. We act. We fold our hands in prayer. And at the same time, I think this last verse, will God find faith? Will the Son of Man find faith? Says that we need feet that are ready to walk as we pray for what we would like to happen. So I think today's Bible reading is about praying relentlessly to God for justice. I think it's about both a widow and a judge we can identify with. I think it's about remembering that God chooses really everyone. And I think it's a call not to be complacent, but to act for justice as hard as we pray for justice. That last one. It's a call not to be complacent, but a call to act for justice as hard as we pray for justice. It's a call to act for peace as hard as we pray for peace. It's a call to act to care for people who don't have enough as hard as we pray for that. Earlier this week, when I was starting to think of what is all this going to turn out like, I had a rhythm going on in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head, and it really wasn't exactly a rhythm. It was more of a free-form jazz kind of thing. There was some drum beat going on over here, and there was bass over here, and there was a piano that didn't seem to be going with anything else, but it was all sort of soaring through my head. But I got to feeling poetic. So today, I'd like to end with a piece of beat poetry. How many of you familiar with beat poetry? Anyone? Got a few there. beat poetry popular in the 60s, Jack Kerouac time. People would sit in their coffee bars and they would wear hats and have sunglasses on and they would snap their fingers and they would read poetic verse that didn't necessarily rhyme. It's a piece of beat poetry that hopefully provides us all with a challenge to pray and to act for justice. So what you've got to do is help me out with a little bit of snapping fingers like this. Now imagine there's a stand-up bass over there. I don't know what's going on there. Get that in your head. There's a piano. Little drummer. Going with this beat. And just keep the snap going like that. Pray. Pray relentlessly. Pray relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Pray. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world. Pray. Pray relentlessly. Pray relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world. And be encouraged that God is listening and responding. Pray. Act. Act relentlessly. Act relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Act. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world. Act. Act relentlessly. Act relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world and be encouraged that God is listening and responding. Act for justice. Let's pray. God, give us ears to hear, minds to think. Challenge us to pray and to act, to do the things that you would have us do, to live our lives the way you would have us live them. In Jesus' name, amen.